Tim McAuliffe is on the line now. Co-host of Tim and Sid. You can hear it daily, of course, on the Fan 590 using the Sportsnet app. Tim, thank you very much for doing this today, buddy. How are you?
Well, I'm apologetic for ghosting you earlier.
All good.
and I'm also apologetic. My 9-year-old son is vacuuming, and I do not want to disturb him, so I'm hiding in a room that probably doesn't have the best acoustics in it right now, but I'm doing so because my 9-year-old very rarely vacuums. And we're trying to have some discipline in the house. And I don't know if anyone else is going through this right now. I'm just going to take this while I can get it and hide in the bathroom while he's doing it.
Totally understand, man. I would do the exact same thing with two kids in my house, and we're all living and working in the same place right now. I take it from that your household is safe and healthy then?
Yeah, everyone's good, knock on wood. We got a few things, extended family, that we're dealing with right now, which is why I had to ghost you. But right now, knock on wood, we're all good. Immediate family, everyone in the house is kind of sort of tolerating each other. So I'll take it while we can get it.
I feel you there, and sending positive vibes your way for your extended family, buddy.
Thanks.
We've been asking, we've been asking our listeners this morning, hey, we're all looking for something to grab onto, take a trip down memory lane. We've got all these classic games that we're watching. So we're asking our listeners just to send in their proudest individual moments in athletics, whether it was a team win or whether it was an individual accomplishment, whatever they're most proud of. What stands out for you when you look back on when you were playing sports?
It's so funny because my 9-year-old son is playing like a single A hockey, but his first year in the GTHL, which is kind of like a big deal in Toronto, even though it's only single A hockey. And he had like a wonderful year. They won like 4 tournaments. They won the regular season crown. They didn't get to finish their playoffs, but they had this year where they captured a bunch of different tournaments. And I'm like, you won more in your 1 year than I won in my entire life playing sports. Like, I was always in the small school or on the team that was middle of the pack in hockey when I was playing, you know, club hockey. And so my only two moments are individual because I didn't have many, team successes. We lost football. We lost in the finals. We had a good team 1 year, and we had 3 guys suspended for our semifinal game against a really good team who ended up winning the Metro Bowl, and we beat them in the right. Like, I have a bunch of colossal, like, coulda, shoulda, would-haves, but I have two moments that I'll remember for the rest of my life. One of them was grade 8 basketball tournament at the local high school, which, you know, is a big deal, right? Like, you're in grade 8, you're about to go and be a sophomore, whatever, a freshman, whatever you call your first year, your grade 9 year. And all of the guys that played were reffing this grade 8 tournament. I got fouled with 5 seconds left, down 1. And I hit the first free throw, but I banked it in.
So, nice.
So in my grade 8 head, I'm thinking, do I bank the second one in or try to? Because it'll make the first one look like I meant to bank in the first one, even though I didn't bank in the first one. And so wanting to look cool, I went to try and bank the second, and I actually succeeded in banking the second one on purpose. First one was just pure jitters, choked and gagged on it, but got lucky. And the second one, just to cover my own ass, I hit the second one. And my second favorite story of all time was City News in Toronto would show up at local high school games. And I don't know if, Scotty, did Sportsline ever do that out there?
Sports Page
ever show up to high school games?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So when they showed up to your game, it was big time, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So so City TV shows up to our high school game, and they thought we were playing St. Mike's, which is like a powerhouse. It's the guy, you know, Dave Keon, Frank Mahovlich, all these guys went through Eric Lindros went through St. Mike's, like. And instead we were playing like one of the lowest caliber teams in our league, and we won 12-1, and I had 8 points in the game. So they thought they were getting these great highlights of us playing St. Mike's, but instead it was us versus Archbishop Romero, which was a little different quality team. And we ended up winning 12-1. I had 8 points. And normally that would garner you athlete of the week on City TV News. But the guy who showed up to film the game was so pissed that he didn't get St. Mike's, he got like 4 goals and left. So they didn't give me the athlete of the week. They gave it to a goalie who let in like three goals in another game that they showed up to because he stayed till the end.
That is awesome. Now, I wondered why Sid called you Mario on set, but it's the 8-point effort.
Yeah, maybe. But it was, I don't know if it was the highest quality hockey. In fact, I think I might have the VHS laying around, and if I find it, I'll post it on my Instagram account so you can see just how low quality the 8 points were.
No, that's awesome. I do want to know, before we move on, did you call bank on the second free throw?
No. I just I was literally crapping my pants. Like, I had, first off, I was so nervous. You know, I was like an average basketball, I played till grade 11 basketball, and then I quit to play high school hockey because you couldn't play there both at the same time. You couldn't play both. So I stopped playing basketball in about grade 11, but I was like, you know, average to pretty good for a high school kid. And I was just so nervous with all the, like, there was an actual crowd and bleachers at the game because basically you had like two people sitting on the stage in grade school. Like, I don't know if you remember those days, but you know, your floor hockey games weren't that well attended. It wasn't BC high school basketball, I'll tell you that much. It was grade 8. Local tournament, and I was crapping my pants. So, but it taught me a lot because, you know, I got through it, and the second one that I hit banking in was like, oh, okay, I can do this.
It's awesome, and it brings back so many memories of when you're in high school or lower levels before that. Like, I was on a really crappy team the first year I ever played soccer when I was in grade 3, and we lost every single game but one, but I scored a hat trick in the one game. And it feels like such a big deal at the time, you know? Yeah. And I think that's what takes you back, whether it's high school sports or those junior-level community sports you played. At the time, it was your whole world, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's so funny. I have a buddy who ended up playing in Europe hockey, and we played together our whole lives. And I was basically a double-A player, and he kept at it. He kept working. He just loved the game. And he ended up turning himself into, you know, a pretty good European pro player. He played in the top division in Britain. And we still talk to this day. We still talk about a 12-1 win we had on a crappy double-A team. And remember the name of the team that we beat 12-1 because we didn't do that very often. So to Fincher's, in your face.
Throw it down. I love it. The other part that you mentioned is City TV News showing up and having that be a highlight. I grew up in Kamloops, so Sports Page would never have come up there for high school games, but I can even remember in university when Sports Page would come out and shoot highlights of, at the time, a CIAU game or a CIS game, as it later became to be known, and put that on their program at night. Like, guys who were playing university-level athletics in this country would go crowd around the television after the game just to see if one of their highlights actually made it onto that show.
Yeah. It's so funny, too. I left out a story. So Michael Power, I played in a pretty good high school football loop. And my school was a small school, and we only won one title with my older brother, and I was trying to match him. And we were always kind of chasing it, even though we were close. But we were in and you might recognize names out there because the guys ended up there. But we're in a conference with St. Mike's that produced a bunch of guys. O.J. Santiago went to St. Mike's. I played against him. Yeah, he was a tight end that ended up in the NFL with the with the Atlanta Falcons. And at Henry Carr, Grayson Schillingford, who was
my
a
teammate.
Real stud. Yeah?
I played with Grayson at UBC. Man, at UBC, could he fly.
Yeah. Yeah, so Grayson played at Henry Carr, and in fact, we thought he was coming back for another year, and we set up a triple team for him, and it was our first game of the year. We get there, he wasn't there, and we had to redo our entire defense and lost by a point to Henry Carr. But so one game, City TV shows up, and it's Michael Power, and I have video of me being run over by one Jason Gavadza, who was a tight end. He went to, I forget the college, but he ended up on the Cleveland Browns practice roster. And the other one was Mark Nora, who you know well too. Mm-hmm. And Mark Nora didn't mess around. So I have video somewhere in the house of me being run over by Mark Nora.
Well, I'm glad you brought up both of those names because they bring me back to a different time. You know, I had Jesse Lumsden on the show this week, and I asked him, have you ever thought about what might have been for your NFL opportunities if you'd come along, say, 10 years later? Because, Tim, you and I know this. Guys are getting drafted out of U Sports schools now that never would have been looked at before. And
right.
You wonder if Lumsden would have had a better opportunity because the mindset has shifted to a point where, we don't care where you played. If you've got the raw ability, we'll teach you at the NFL level. Mark Norah and Grayson Schillingford were two of those guys that were Toronto products, came out and played at UBC. Norah's one of those Canadian running backs who actually got a chance to run the ball in the Canadian Football League before the likes of John Cornish, and he was really good. And if he hadn't been hurt, I wonder what would have become of his pro career as yeah. a tailback, let alone a fullback. And then Schillingford, one of the things people don't realize about him, he went down to the Seattle Seahawks and was on their practice roster for 2 years straight out of UBC. He was that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember because I kept track of the guys that I played against because in our loop, it ended up, I mean, Gavazzo was one, Schillingford was two, Norah was three, and oh yeah, OJ Santiago would have been the four. So I had four guys that I played against regularly that ended up on NFL practice rosters just out of, you know, local Toronto high school football. It was unbelievable. And I always thought, you know, my brother was 9 years older than me, and he was a way better athlete than me, but he was of that same quality. He played between Blake Marshall and Dwayne Ford at Western as a tailback / fullback. And if he hadn't have got tripped up, I think he would have been, you know, a longtime CFL player. But if you looked at his numbers, like now he's 5'10", 225 and ran a 4.5 and couldn't find a scholarship. He could only get partial scholarships. Like, it was unbelievable what he went through, and he could play hockey pretty well too. So it was Bowling Green saying, we'll give you a little bit from football, a little bit from hockey, and maybe you can come down. And he's like, nah, thanks. I'll just go to Western and play there. But it's amazing how much it's changed. And I think basketball typifies that. Like, my son asks me all the time, like, who were the guys when you were young? And I'm like, you don't know any of them because they couldn't get a scholarship anywhere. Like, it was just, you played in Canada and you hope to God that someone would see you, like a Will Njoku who ended up getting drafted but never really got a shot with Indiana. Like, it is amazing how far Canadian athletics has come.
Tim McAuliffe in conversation with us here this morning on Sportsnet 650. The epitome of that is Steve Nash, who sent out grainy yeah. videotapes and got one scholarship offer from the States, right?
NBA MVP, yeah.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad if you need him, and he gets one scholarship offer. But, yeah, you're right. It was a different time. And the other thing you bring up that makes me miss yesteryear is the way that our industry has changed and the way that, you know, sports shows have changed over the years. Those high school sports, those college sports, they don't get near the run that they used to, and a lot of those stories never get told now.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I don't know what your relationship with Howard is. Howard's, you know, he typifies what it should be. And I don't think he even knew who I was. And I just walked up to him at one of the events and I said, that's the way you do stuff. Like, I love the way you write. And BC has done it well. High school basketball, high school football in BC means something. It means a little more than it means out here. And I always appreciated that, you know, someone would go out and do that. And Howard always did that. And I had the utmost respect. And we used to have that with local news. But now there's, you know, local news has been chopped and chipped, and no one wants to do it anymore because of the cost. But you're damn right. That's the one thing that we have completely lost. And I hope, you know, this pandemic, this staying inside, this me hiding from my son vacuuming in the bathroom is going to be a recenter for a lot of people. And I hope in the end, you know, like, it's going to be big. It's going to be the, you know, global redistribution of chains that, you know, not everything can come from China. We're starting to realize that. We need things that are done here in Canada. We need things that are done locally. And I hope the return of local news is one of those things in that recenter. And I mean true local news, where you're not just grabbing stuff from a feed from somewhere else and passing it off as your own. I hope there's a real investment in local news, because I think what you're seeing right now is how important it is to be together locally, no matter where you live in Canada. And it's something that Canadians, I think, appreciate. I think Canadians understand community. because we have those long winters. I mean, not so much in BC, but I think a lot of people from Vancouver came from somewhere else. And I think that the one thing that we're seeing in Calgary is the same, obviously. Calgary is a ton of people from somewhere else. And that's why I feel like it's so community-based. I think we need to get back to that idea and get back to those days when, the local reporter came out to your game and covered it because that was the thing to do. And that's why I love youth sports football and basketball and youth sports athletics so much, because it feels like that community base again.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the other thing that I hope comes out of this, and I'm sure you get guys from Ryerson or other journalism programs calling you at times and interviewing you, and
yep.
It happens every once in a while out here. BCIT does the same thing. And I had a student recently ask me, where do you think the industry is going? What's the one thing that you would tell journalism students is going to be here 10 years from now that might not change, will always be a constant? And I racked my brain for a minute, and to me, the one thing is storytelling. I don't care what the platform is. Storytelling has worked since people were sitting around campfires as cavemen, and it still works now. And I hope we get more good storytelling and people willing to invest in more good storytelling moving forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. And positive storytelling, because the world, I mean, we were headed to a spot that was so negative before all this hit. And I know that south of the border, they're still doing that. But I hope north of the border, we kind of realize that there is a real value in the positive storytelling. There's a real value in showing people banging their pots and pans. There's a real value in showing people going to a seniors building and helping the seniors dance. And I know on our show on Tim and Sid, we've added a good news of the day just to keep people smiling. And we've added a joke of the day just to keep people smiling. I think we're starting to realize, listen, I work with one of the, Sid is of the biggest curmudgeons in Canadian sports. And even he realizes that we need a little bit of smiles. We need a little bit of happiness. We need a little bit of positivity these days. And I hope those are the things that kind of pass over, and you're right, storytelling will never be old. And I just hope that when we get back to these days where we are able to tell the real stories, we do a few of the positive ones too.
Well, even Walker, and you know how curmudgeonly he is for a guy in his 30s, he is promoting send us in some people you want to shout out on the front lines, essential workers, healthcare professionals, and we'll name them every day right before the 7 o'clock because they lead right up to that with their show.
Yeah, no, it's. I think we're all starting to realize how petty some of the ish was. So it's great to hear that Walker's doing it over there. I got Sixero doing it over here. One of these days we'll be back on TV and we'll be able to do it there too.
Hey, one more thing before I let you go and get back to vacuuming, which I'm sure you're eager to get to. I found myself last night, I'm getting ready for the show, and that's the one thing that is somewhat normal in all of this we're going through, and I know you're going through that as well, and I don't even care what classic game is on the TV. I just put it on in the background right now while I'm prepping my show, because that's one of the creature comforts that sort of makes me feel normal in these times. Is there anything like that for you? Do you do the same thing?
You know what? To be honest with you, with the kids at home, it's been like my early day. I think the only thing that feels the same is I'll go out and dribble with my son and in the backyard, and our neighbors have a basketball net, and every once in a while the guy sitting next door will say, hey, got an hour, I'll pull my car out, and we go and we play on their driveway basketball. And that's been kind of my feel good moment, is just hanging with the kids and then going out and playing basketball and feeling like there's, and I know not everyone can do that right now, and I realize the privilege from which I'm speaking, but that's kind of been my thing. And even when we don't have the net, we're figuring things out in the backyard. Like, we're just dribbling. I get, those mini stick balls, Rintoul, the tiny foam balls.
Mm-hmm.
We've been going down in the basement and we've been doing soft toss with those, and he's just been smashing them into the wall with his baseball bat. So we've been taking out, that's kind of like, just getting back to the things that you, figuring out a way to do what you always did just a little differently, I think has been my creature comfort, because I'm not much of a, I've been trying to do some stuff. Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been my go-to. I've probably watched The Office through and through 8 times over, like every episode 8 times over, even the bad ones at the end. So those are my creature comforts throughout this. I don't know how much sports, the old sports I've been trying to do, but I'll throw it on every once in a while, but it's been the other things that really help me keep kind of my sanity.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I put it on. I don't even watch it half the time. I just have the noise in the background, so it
Yeah.
feels like
Yeah,
something
it just
normal's
feels like
happening.
it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just something. I don't even watch. Last night, I can't even tell you who was playing, but I had the hockey game on in the background while I was trying to get a few notes together for today's
Right.
show, man. Hey,
Listening
it's
to
always a
Bob
pleasure.
Cole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I could do that day, night, anytime, man. Always a pleasure catching up with you, Tim. I'm glad to hear that you guys are making the best of this situation we all find ourselves in. Keep up the great work, buddy. Love it.
Yeah, you too. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. Try and stay tough, okay?
Good words, my friend. Thank you.